The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
Thanks for having him, Paul. Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros are 16-14 through the first 30 games of the year. And I'm giving them a C- for that first month. The reasons why? Because while they have pitched well, injuries have me wondering if they're going to be able to maintain the second best ERA in all of baseball, the fifth best walks, hits per innings pitched. They're tied in that regard in baseball, the fifth most strikeouts in baseball, because we don't know how long Jose Urquidy is going to be out. We don't know how long Luis Garcia is going to be out. We don't know how long it's going to take for Lance McCullers to return. On top of that, while the pitching's been good and you can't expect it to necessarily continue with those injuries, the bats have been mediocre at best. 12th in runs scored in all of baseball, 22nd in home runs, 16th in average, 19th in OPS. And yeah, it's early and you can expect some of these guys to potentially get a little bit better. Alex Bregman, he's always starting off slow. Jose Altuve, when he returns, that's a shot in the arm. Michael Brantley, maybe also a shot in the arm. But you haven't gotten a lot out of Yordan Alvarez to this point. I know, some injuries. Kyle Tucker as well. You want to prove to the Astros they're wrong, fighting over $2.5 million with you. You need to get off to a better start than you've gotten off to. It's not to say it's been a bad start. And then on top of that, Jose Abreu, the big signing that they made this offseason, he's hitting for contact and has, of the players that have been regularly hitting for the Astros, an OPS that's higher only than that of Martin Maldonado and David Hensley. You paid for more than that. So to this point, I give them a C-. But if you have another thought, 713-780-3776 to call to text. And that C- is because I like the student, but I wonder what's going on at home. I'm looking for reasons to explain why things aren't going so well. A text: I give the Astros a C. Not happy with it, but I'll take it. That's good that you're not happy with it. They should be doing better than this. The good news is they haven't been the Mariners and the Yankees. I did want to do a joint episode of Yankees and Mariners watch today, but they both won last night. But the Yankees are in the bottom of the American League East, and the Mariners can't score worth a damn. Their lineup has been a massive disappointment. And Julio Rodriguez, who was so good last year, not off to the best start. Hell, it's been Jared Kelnick, the guy who's been carrying them, the guy who was terrible when he first came up to the Mariners. Anyway, other question I have. Luis Garcia is going to get a second opinion on his sore elbow that saw him pitch only 8 pitches on Monday night and then pulled from the game. Not great to have Jose Urquidy and Luis Garcia both pulled early in back-to-back games. When is it good to get a second opinion on anything? Because every single time you get a second opinion on something, you're probably in denial. I watched a recent episode. Check that. I recently watched an episode of Scrubs. The first episode where Brendan Fraser's character comes in. The second episode hits hard. If you know, you know. But in that episode, JD, who's played by Zach Braff, doesn't want to tell Brendan Fraser's character that he has leukemia. So he keeps on looking to get second opinions on things that he probably doesn't need a second opinion on. It's all right there on the chart. He's hoping for the best. You're hoping for the best with Luis Garcia right now. And all I can think of, if he's looking for a second opinion, it could be because he doesn't trust the Astros training staff, but I think it's far more likely, and that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that it's a mistrust of the Astros training staff that's leading to him getting that second opinion. But much more likely, it's he wants somebody to tell him that he's going to be able to pitch again this year, that he's not going to need Tommy John surgery or something like that. That's my assumption. I don't know any specifics. All I know is that when somebody asks for a second opinion, you generally expect the worst. When do you ask for a second opinion? On the Twitch, twitch.tv/E315, I had a doctor tell me I had a tumor. Second opinion revealed he was incorrect. A Virginia buttonweed says, it's not a tumor, in response. I believe that's a line from some Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I don't know which one off the top of my head. That's just a floating line in my brain that has taken the space of Lil Wayne trivia facts that
I think
I should
it's
know.
Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop, you're right. It's not a tumor. HRWS1W on Twitch. When you get someone pregnant, get a second opinion. That sounds like an episode of Maury. Miss Maury. Miss Jerry Springer. I miss our trashy reality daytime television shows. When are you getting a second opinion for a good thing? It's almost always done because you're hoping for something better than the reality. And, that does have me concerned. Garcia looked very good in those starts. And I know some people are like, well, he shouldn't have pitched the World Baseball Classic. And others are like, it's the pitch clock. It's changing his delivery. Now, all of a sudden, he's not comfortable throwing. But you see that report out there last night by Chandler Rome. What good thoughts can come after that? And to go back to something I discussed yesterday at 11 o'clock, the Astros are going to need to make a trade at the trade deadline. And I don't think it's going to just be for pitching with obviously the depth issues they have right now. I think they're going to need to go get somebody that can actually hit. It's been 30 games. I know it's early and all that stuff, but are you really expecting that the slow starts that the majority of these players are having is just going to go away? Obviously, hitters go through slumps all the time, but is Jose Altuve's return going to change things that much? Is Michael Brantley's return? By the way, we don't even know if Brantley can still play. Is Brantley's return going to do the same thing? So I'm not freaking out. This isn't the panic button, but 1 month into the year, they deserve a C-, and you got a lot of questions about how things are going to improve where the injuries seem to be getting worse on the pitching side of things, and offensively, they're just not hitting. I mean, who the hell is the guy that was pitching for the Giants last night? He's having a good year, by the way. But who the bleep is Anthony DeSclafani? Wait. Anthony DeSclafani. DeSclafani. Got it that time. What? Who the hell is he? 3-1? 2.13 ERA, 0.82 walks, hits per innings pitch. It's the Giants. That guy three hit you over 8 innings? DeSclafani, come on. What the hell is that?
So last year, after 30 games, the Astros were 19-11, and this was in the middle of like a 10-game winning streak. Okay. Or no, maybe 12-game winning streak.
Yeah.
11-game winning streak. So that's kind of where we're at as, you know, compared to last year with this team of, yeah, three games back, right? They're 16-14.
Right.
So with the injuries and stuff, that's where you get to the sea of like, oh, you're right on track. You're right on track with where you were last year.
Totally fair.
And you missed Brantley and Altuve. And, I mean, looking at some of the win losses on this, you're missing Verlander, too.
You've been there and done that before. You've played a tough schedule of late. But should we compare what the Astros have done the first month of the year to what they did last year? or should we be comparing it to something else? I'll tell you what that something is next. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Giving the Astros a C-minus for their first month of the year. And I'm pretty terrified for whatever second opinion Luis Garcia is going to get a little bit later today. This is a Lil Wayne song, I found out. This is Fireman. That's what it sounds like in the background. Thanks, Sean. We're learning new things every day. Listen, I just don't know much about Lil Wayne. And I have to really overemphasize Lil when I say Lil. It's hard to say Lil versus little. And I imagine that I sound a lot more white than I normally do when I call Lil Wayne Little Wayne. But anyway, guys, that's why you love me. That's the part of the charm of the show.
I think you sound whiter by explaining how hard it is for you not to say little every time. I think that's what makes you sound white. It's like,
listen,
it's just not correct English. I don't know. What is this?
I'm very comfortable in my whiteness, but I'm not uncomfortable around things that a lot of people who are super white would be, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I'm open to new things, but I am who I am. I was raised in a sheltered suburban household in Massachusetts, wasn't allowed to watch MTV or VH1 or listen to music. I remember trying to buy the Enema of the State album by Blink-182, and my mom was like, you can't buy this. Look at this whore on the cover. She didn't say that, but you get what I'm saying here, okay? It's like when it comes to music, it is like I was in a bunker underground during a nuclear war. But look, we are comparing the Astros of last year to the Astros of this year to make ourselves feel a little bit better, right? Well, I said before the break, there are two things that you should probably be comparing instead. You should be comparing the Astros record to the rest of the teams in the American League to this point of the year. The Tampa Bay Rays have gotten off to a ridiculous start, 24-6. As things currently stand, they are 8 games ahead of you in the American League race. Obviously, that can be made up very quickly. We said that the Astros and Yankees, that might be difficult to make up, and they made it up in like a month. Remember, I had this bold guarantee the Astros will catch up to the Yankees by the end of the year. They were there in a month. They never looked back. So remember, lots of things can happen. And the Astros have played a pretty challenging schedule to this point. The teams that they have played thus far, they played Tampa Bay, first place. They played Texas, third place in the American League. They played Toronto, fourth place. Minnesota, fifth place. They've played some good teams to this point. They also played the Pittsburgh Pirates. Best record in the National League. Played the Atlanta Braves. Tied for best record in the National League. They've had a pretty difficult schedule thus far, so you can definitely look at the schedule and say, okay, well, maybe that's why things have been so slow getting out of the gate, why they're not hitting up to the standard that you would expect them to. But I think that instead of comparing this team to last year's team, I think you should be comparing this team to what the other teams in the American League are doing. I don't know if I should take Texas seriously yet. We were having a fun conversation, John Mapes and I, with another host that works at our sister station about like when we will take the Texas Rangers seriously. And I was like, probably when the Astros are eliminated by the Rangers in the playoffs. Like, I think it's going to take that for me to look at the Rangers and not laugh at them, you know?
Yeah. Game 7 of the ALCS. That's
right. That like, if they took the Astros to Game 7 in an ALCS or to Game 5 in an ALDS, even in Game 5, I don't even know if I would take them seriously in the DS. They took them to 5 games. I don't know.
I think I would, just because, you know, ALDS. For something that the Astros always win, it's always something I'm always like, man, the series is so short. You just lose one stupid one and you're out.
It is true.
And the Astros just haven't done that.
That's what's honestly the most incredible thing about this run, because the ALDS does even things out a bit, and yet the first round of the playoffs for the Astros is the ALCS, much like for my Patriots when they were going on their run. I always thought it was funny to tell people, oh, the AFC Championship, that's where the playoffs begin. People get so mad when you say that. Oh, what a life it was to be the most diabolical, villainous sports fan in sports. Patriots, Celtics, Astros, Tampa Bay Lightning fan, Paul Gallant. Everything's starting to come back to earth. Just a little bit. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join us at twitch.tv/ESPN975. Paul asks a texter, what talking points are you taking from? By the way, we don't have talking points. This is generally a stream of consciousness show, and Sean helps me organize my thoughts, which are generally all over the place. We're getting better, I think. But this moment right now, a little bit of ADD. What talking points are you taking from if you are saying Jordan hasn't been playing well? He's fourth in runs batted in, three behind the lead in Major League Baseball. Are you really looking at runs batted in as a determinant if he's playing up to snuff? This was the guy who was third in the running for MVP last year in the American League. Has he looked like that guy? He hasn't. We hold Jordan to a different standard. And if you take a look at Jordan's numbers, yeah, he's hitting some clutch home runs. He's getting some clutch hits in big spots. But statistically, you can't argue that he is looking the way that he did last year. His career numbers, 294 average, 970 OPS, and while his OPS is 916, he's hitting 264 this year. He's got six home runs. It's nice. It's not dominant. He could be playing better. And I bet at some point this year he will be playing better. He'll just absolutely be tearing the cover off the ball, but he needs to be better. Kyle Tucker needs to be better. Alex Bregman needs to be better. Altuve is not fixing those three guys. Those three guys are playing, I think, below their ability level. They should be held to a higher standard. Thus, the C-minus grade for the Astros. The offensive numbers are pretty meh, and they're better than this. They know it. It's been a month, okay? At some point, we've got to be able to say it's no longer too early to make a judgment. Another text. Do we need to start calling Dubon Uncle Mauricio? If Uncle Mike comes back healthy, we could move people around the bases like nobody's business. Can we stop with the Uncle nickname? Can we stop with that?
By the way, did you see...
At least get a cool nickname? Like, how about Tio? Tio Mauricio, right?
Yeah, that would work.
That would work. That's better. Uncle is such a lame nickname.
2 days ago, Jeff Green had a big dunk, and there's a lot of Uncle Jeff.
Why is it Uncle? Because he's older?
Yeah, because he's so old.
Why do we call the uncles older? Why, is grandpa too offensive, but uncle implies older?
And because there's older people in sports, you know?
A lot of people have siblings who are uncles who are younger. Take, for example, me. My sister is a year older than me. I'm an uncle/godfather. Dabbed.
But you are 34.
True, but why would you be looking at the uncle as a more reverential figure than the parent, especially when the parent is older? That's what I don't get about this, like this use of the word uncle.
I think it's out of place. Because it's like endearing. It's like, oh yeah, that's Uncle Mike.
It makes no sense to me. I guess it's somebody
that
you just
hate all your uncles. So
no, I love my uncles.
No, that's what it is.
No, I love my them. No.
You're I know. Like, why would you want to call him back?
Stop. I love my Uncle Jack, who lives here in town. I love my Uncle Greg, who's my godfather, you know? Uncle Laurent? Like, there's a lot of uncles. I like my uncles.
We should call people Godfather. Godfather Mike.
That's probably too much as well. It's a lame nickname. We can do better than uncle for everybody. Good God. 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You know, it's hard to be the biggest a-hole in all of sports, right? It's hard. And I think we need to create an award for it. Because there's one man who is never going to loosen his grip. He has firmly held this for 5 years. The guy, before I left Houston to go to Seattle. This guy was holding it hard. Phrasing. He has been firmly grasping, this for a very long time. And I'm wondering if a person who just put together maybe the best calendar year in sports a-hole history has officially taken it away. We're going to talk about
the biggest a-hole in sports. Next, right here, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I didn't know this was Lil Wayne.
My bad, Lil Wayne. It's been the realization that people had today. Lil Wayne visited the Houston Astros yesterday. I suppose we can now claim him as part of the ever-growing Astros bandwagon that at the very least also features Mark Wahlberg, who said play ball at opening day, and 50 Cent, who lives in Houston now. Fun times. Astros becoming more and more popular. I'm also giving them a C- for their first 30 days if you have a thought on that. But in the last segment, I talked about a person who put together perhaps the greatest year we've seen in quite some time when it comes to being an a-hole in sports. Dylan Brooks. Yesterday, it just wrapped up with a beautiful cherry. But let's start with what Dylan Brooks did exactly a year ago today in Game 2 of the Western Conference semifinals against Golden State. Dylan Brooks was given a flagrant 2 and ejected after chasing down Golden State Warriors player Gary Payton II, hitting him in the head while he was in the air, knocking Payton to the ground, and fracturing his left elbow. He was suspended for Game 3 of a series, which, by the way, in back-to-back series, being suspended for a Game 3, that's pretty notable. February 2nd of this year, Brooks was given a flagrant 2 foul and ejected for punching Cleveland Cavaliers player Donovan Mitchell in the groin. He was suspended a game without pay for his actions. March 4th of this year, he was suspended 1 game without pay for incurring his 16th technical foul of the year. March 17th, he was fined $35,000 after shoving a cameraman in a game against the Miami Heat. March 21, suspended another game for receiving 2 more technical fouls, which gave him 18 on the year. To open up the series that the Grizzlies played against the Lakers, Brooks called LeBron James old, said that I poke bears, you need to score 40 on me to respect you. Later in that series, he was ejected after hitting LeBron James in the nads, called for a flagrant 2. Then on top of that, after that game, he refused to speak to the media. After that day, the next day, he goes in front of the podium and he says, the media is trying to turn me into a villain. He proceeds to stink the rest of the series, has no regrets about it. And it all culminated yesterday with Brooks being told he will not be brought back to the Grizzlies under, quote, any circumstances, which is a hilarious extra line added in for seemingly no reason other than to say, bleep off, bro. And then the other reason that we found out that Brooks won't come back is because at the end of the year in team meetings, he expressed frustration with his role, saying, I was just there to 3-and-D, shoot and play defense. I got way more to my game than that. You know what? Bravo. This is all one calendar year. Everything I listed there, one calendar year. Dylan Brooks put on a bleeping show. But the real question is this. Has he seized the crown for the biggest a-hole in sports away from a man who is technically still involved in sports? Our good friend, Antonio Brown. Some would argue that his hit single, Whole Lot of Money, it does sound a little bit like, you know, most of Lil Wayne stuff. But that's just me. I'm just saying, because they both sound like rap. I don't know the actual ins and outs of the rap music, you know. But Antonio Brown is continuing to be the greatest of all time when it comes to being sports a-hole of the universe. And he's been doing this since 2018. It's been incredible what he has done since going to the hell, even before that. Didn't he leak out a Facebook Live video of a pregame conversation where Mike Tomlin said, bleep the Patriots, and he was expressly told not to leak it out? There are some other things where he wasn't playing at the end of the year. He ends up going to the Oakland Raiders. He freezes his feet off. He tries to fight Mike Mayock. We don't see any of it on the Hard Knocks. He gets traded to the Patriots. All he had to do was not say anything about all the things that he was under investigation for. Naturally, he decided to threaten the person that was alleging he had sexually assaulted her. And he seemingly is blackballed by the NFL, comes back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because Tom Brady wants to give him another chance. While he's with the Buccaneers, he decides to quit in the middle of a game against the Jets and essentially strips down to his skivvies and walks off the field dancing off like it's the end of the movie Slapshot. And you thought, okay, that's it. We're not going to hear from Antonio Brown again. But he finds a way because guess what? He is an owner, a part owner of a football team called the Albany Empire of the Arena Football League. And as a part owner, he has not helped the team that he owns get paid. They weren't paid. They haven't been paid since April 21st. So this Monday, the head coach left the team. On top of that, this is the two-time defending champion Arena League football team. Multiple players were also suspended due to an incident on a team bus following a game in North Carolina. The Albany police responded early Monday to a report of aggregated harassment arising from the alleged incident on the bus. I don't know if Antonio Brown was on the bus, but all I know is he's not paying his players with the team he owns, but he is buying a mansion, which again, I guess he does have a whole lot of money, a whole lot of money as he sings in his hit single. The controversial star wide receiver, Antonio Brown, who just expanded his ownership stake in the Albany Empire, is in contract negotiations to purchase the Palazzo Righi Estate, $12 million. I guess this is in Saratoga Springs. I have no idea where that is, but it's a very nice place. So Antonio Brown somehow still has money, just not enough to pay the players on the team that he owns. So, yeah, Dylan Brooks, big-time challenger, but no one is ever taking away the title of the biggest a-hole in sports from Antonio Brown, who refuses to go away. Got to give him credit for that, right? Staying relevant as a villain. It's hard. You eventually get killed off. You watched Game of Thrones. Ramsay Bolton. Incredible villain. Only a couple of years on the show.
Spoiler.
It's been a couple of years. You should know by now. 7 years. You had 7 years to figure it out. Guess what, too? It's like a television show. The villain's probably going to die, right? At some point, the villain dies. Unless it's an anti-hero. And even then, at some point, the anti-hero generally gets
what's coming. Wow, I guess all the bad guys in Game of Thrones died.
They did?
Huh.
Best one, the worst of them all, Dany. People forget. Mad Queen. You know, they did speed up that process a lot, but if you've watched the show as many times as I did, you would have seen it coming. You could have seen it coming.
The seeds were there? The dragon eggs were planted?
She is crazy the whole time. Like, she just gets mad over the stupidest stuff. It's like, I've seen random Italians on The Sopranos get madder about, she's getting madder about things that most of the people that get killed in The Sopranos get killed over, which were always like tiny things like, hey, Christopher made a movie about me and didn't paint me in a great light. Oh, like there's stuff like that happens in The Sopranos that led to a lot of deaths. And Dany was getting mad over smaller things than that. Smaller things. It was always there. She was crazy. There's nothing wrong with that, unless they have nuclear weapons or the power to decimate a city with a dragon, something like that.
It's basically nuclear weapons.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've been doing a new segment here on the Paul Gallant Show because, look, I know a lot of people, you tune into this show for pre-draft coverage in any sports league. So what we've been doing is something that I think is setting a new high bar for pre-draft coverage. Some people might do mock drafts. We do mock lotteries. Where will the Rockets pick in this year's draft? Well, let's mock it out.
Looking for the best Rockets draft coverage in town? Look no further.
The Houston Rockets select Akeem Olajuwon of the University of Houston.
The Paul Gallant Show proudly presents the NBA Draft Mock Lottery.
Here's how it works. We press a button, and then we figure out where it's likely that the Rockets will select, given that they have a 14% chance at the number one overall pick. So, the machine begins, and Sean, where are the Rockets picking in this year's draft?
Number one.
Oh, they got it! They got it!
Number one, Houston Rockets. Number two, Charlotte. I almost said Bobcats, Hornets, and Orlando. Number three.
There you go.
Rockets. We did it. Mission accomplished.
Okay, so it is possible. It is possible for them to get the number one overall seed. Who knows what they'll do? Watch them get the number one pick and take Brandon Miller.
Let me hit it one more time for fun. Oh, number two.
Uh-oh, number two.
Oh, yeah, I'm 100% ready. Now, the NBA draft, number five on this one. The NBA draft isn't as bad as the NFL draft, but between the lottery and the actual draft, there will be a, are we sure we want Victor Wembanyama number one? There will be that. That will happen. Someone will do that.
Should we do it? Should we be the, like, we won't seriously do it. We'll be winking along
the
way.
Yeah, just because it's the easiest thing to do. But, big guy, feet.
Like,
that's all you have to say is, I don't know, you might get hurt. And then, okay, so we shouldn't draft a generational prospect.
Right.
Cool.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with a little xenophobia, right?
I won't agree with that.
Oh, he's French. Can you trust the French? You could trust him in the 1700s.
Yeah.
But can you trust them now? Huh. Good question.
I don't know. They're trying to raise the retirement age.
It would be... I'm glad that French protesters are in France and not here. Because imagine if the Writers Guild was trying to do the stuff that like French protesters are doing for the raised retirement age. Anyway, with every single mock lottery that we do, we will tell you a story about a lottery winner who had it all and lost it all. Because that could be the Houston Rockets with that lottery ticket in their hand. James Hayes was an overnight security guard in 1998. He won $19 million playing California's Super Lotto game, but he quickly went from winner to loser. His ex-wife reportedly took half the jackpot money. We got to know how quick this was. Did the wife say, oh, I'm out?
Yeah, would it be weeks, months?
I'm looking for something else to ride. I'm out.
Wow.
Well, listen, it is a nice, if you don't have kids especially, like what a nice place in life to like start over, right? I know that sounds horrible, but I mean, for both parties, you get a chance to start over and you have money. You get to do things you never got to do before. I'm surprised that most lottery winners don't end up getting divorced. Anyway.
I'm doing research on when they got divorced.
Back to this story. Hayes developed a bad heroin habit, costing him $1,000 a week. But he won $19 million. Okay, half of it's gone. So he had $9.5 million total. $1,000 a week. There's 52 weeks in a year. $52,000 a year? That shouldn't kill you too quickly. How did he blow the rest of this money? Well, I'll tell you how he tried to keep earning money. Authorities say he resorted to robbing banks to keep up his lifestyle.
Nice.
You know what? Who would expect a lottery winner to rob banks? The FBI nicknamed him, oh boy, this is not a great nickname, the PT Cruiser Bandit.
Aww. Can you work in heroin, please? Make me sound cool. I do a lot of heroin.
So, he won the lottery in 1998. The PT Cruiser at one point was a popular car. He must have spent a lot of money on the PT Cruiser. How much did he spend on that? Imagine telling your grandchildren something. Yeah, I spent $70,000 on a PT Cruiser. Or however much that cost back in the day. He was also called the Season Bandit because of his car and gray hair.
The what? The Seasoned?
The Seasoned Bandit.
Oh, because he's gray.
Yeah. In 2018.
I like how they threw him because of the car, too. Like, yeah, because he drove... They really just want to rip on the PT Cruiser. That's all these cops wanted to do. They didn't really want to catch him.
It's a pretty hilarious name.
Are these cops like sponsored by Ford or something? Like, why are they going in so hard on this car?
I don't know, man. There was a time where it was a popular car, but I think it was perhaps controversially popular. We'll get the true answer to that on the other side. But he pled guilty to the bank robbery, got 33 months in prison. But he blew all that money. It doesn't say that he blew all of his money. Like, he's got to have some of it left over. I don't know if this guy's capable of going through $9.5 million that quickly, but you know what? Some people are impressive with it. He might have just become addicted to the thrill of life. Winning the lottery, robbing banks, what a life.
Heroin, yeah.
Just a little bit.
You keep brushing over the fact that you spend $1,000 a week on heroin. That is so much money on heroin.
I don't know how much it costs. You seem to know that.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to spend on anything. $1,000 a week.
Yeah, that's true. That's a lot. That's a lot. All right, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. Up next, there are a couple of movies that are coming out soon. One of them involves one of the more fun figures in sports, but the other has me with a pants tent. This movie and this cast sounds awesome. I'll tell you about it next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We were talking about lottery winners and losers in the last segment on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A texter from the 832 says, I spend $10,000 a month on lottery tickets. LOL, .. But to be fair, I have the most viewed lottery channel on YouTube with 108,000 subscribers. So I make more on YouTube than I lose on the lottery. And then he is handing his channel out, and I'm not going to read it because he has so many more followers than me, and I'm jealous. I am a petty, petty SOB.
Can you put it in the doc? Because I want to see.
No, I won't. I won't do it. Well, look at the text line.
I mean, I'll just Google.
His name is AR Platinum. Okay. Well, that's an interesting premise for a YouTube channel. Carve out your niche. The amount of things that people will watch on YouTube really fascinates me. The one I do not get is the unboxing of gifts. I don't get that. It's like, it's not your gift. Oh, well, look how well he unboxed it. Like, wait, is there talent to it? No.
Or you just like, you just want to look at the stuff that gets unboxed? Like, you just want to look at the shoes or whatever? Yeah. Like, a lot of it's like toys with kids. Like, kids just want to watch other kids open up presents. When I was a kid, I hated that. I wanted the presents.
There's nothing worse than that. Right. I mean, there are some people who are such spoiled little you know what, they'll go to somebody else's party and their parents need to bring them a present so that they don't feel left out, even though the party is not for them. Another text, this is in response to our segment where we were talking about this lottery winner who was called like the PT Cruiser Bandit. The PT Cruiser is popular because it's an ugly POS, writes a texter from the 281. Fair enough. Fair enough. To wrap up today's show, we gave the Astros a C- for the first month of the year. They have a game a little bit later this afternoon against the Giants. 2-0 loss last night. Hunter Brown, control erratic. 9 walks for the Astros. 3 hits for the Astros when it comes to what they're doing at the plate. Like, the bats need to be better. And you can't blame Altuve and Brantley for the struggles that they've had. And Luis Garcia getting a second opinion on his elbow, that absolutely scares the hell out of me. Anyway, time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I'm so excited about this movie, which I had no idea was being made until last night. Sean Mapes, have you seen the movie Gladiator?
This is going to really upset you because every time you mention the movie Gladiator, I do not say this. I started it one time and fell asleep in the middle. I fell asleep in the middle of Gladiator.
I won't judge you for it. My two favorite movies, and it rotates, it's Braveheart and Gladiator. Those are my two favorite movies.
I think falling asleep during a movie that you love is like more insulting than if I just, oh, just never watch it. It's like, no, I put it on and I just nap time.
I'm not someone who gets offended when somebody else doesn't like their favorite movies or TV shows or music. I'm not like that. Some of you guys on the text line clearly are because you're upset that I don't know what Lil Wayne is. Sorry, I'm being honest here. Just being totally honest. But there is a Gladiator sequel coming out. Gladiator 2. It's going to be made by Ridley Scott. Here are some of the people that are on the movie. You might recognize some of them. Barry Keoghan. The guy who, if you watched The Batman, played the Joker. He's also been in a bunch of other movies of late. He was in The Banshees of Inisherin. Joseph Quinn. If you watched the, I think, most recent season of Stranger Things, he was the punk guy who was the Dungeons & Dragons leader. Seems like a pretty good actor. But here's what you really need to get excited about in Gladiator 2. Pedro Pascal, who keeps on getting in everything, and good for him, because I very much enjoy him. 2. Denzel Washington. Gladiator 2. Are you kidding me? Like, those first two actors, I recognize them because I'm nerdy when it comes to movies and TV shows. Pedro Pascal, I'd watch it regardless. Those three would have been enough for me. Denzel Washington's going to be in the sequel to Gladiator, and it's a Ridley Scott movie. I'm in. I am so in on this movie.
Yeah, I'll finish up Gladiator 1 and then get on the... Yeah, Denzel. Wow.
Right. What?
At first, I was like, oh, yeah, Pedro Pascal and guys I've never heard of. And then, oh.
The Denzel Washington part is where I lost my mind because I saw a headline. The headline was Pedro Pascal confirmed for Gladiator 2. And then I kept on reading it. And then I was like, wait a second. Wait. Denzel Washington.
I did like double. I was like, it's not his son or whatever, John David Washington. No, this is Denzel Washington. Okay, cool.
I'm very curious as to how they do a sequel to this movie because, spoiler alert, if you have watched the first movie, Sean Mapes is covering his ears. The main characters, played by 1, Russell Crowe, and 2, Joaquin Phoenix, they die. Sean, you can take your hands off your ears. You're good. I'm really curious as to where they go. The only link in the movie is the guy who plays the young boy, Lucius. He is going to be in this movie. So they will be linked together in some way, shape, or form. Also, as far as things coming to film, /cinema, your television, there will be a 4-part Bill Walton 30 for 30 coming out next month. It's going to be as described by ESPN's press release, a kaleidoscopic trip through Walton's life and memory, accompanied by the soundtrack of his life, the music of The Grateful Dead. See, if you want to be fair and balanced when it comes to my lack of musical knowledge, I only know one song by The Grateful Dead. Touch of Grey, right? I don't even know the words to it. I just know it sounds like... I will survive. Like, I don't know anything about music. It's not just a white thing. In fact, you're racist if you think that me not knowing Lil Wayne is a byproduct of me being the whitest, most mime-looking person at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 today on this May 3rd of 2023.
Now I'm thinking, are you the most mime-looking person on ESPN 97.5? I think you are.
Some days Jeremy Branham could look like that. And guess what? He and Joel Blank are coming up next. Big thanks to our texters, our twitchers, and our tweeters. And of course, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace.
I don't know if he's left in a pimp.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.